On Saturday, the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra will be back in full force in an outdoor setting here in the studio to preview this performance. I am so pleased to welcome the music director of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, Julian Quarty. Hello.
Good morning, Kara. It's so nice to be back here in the studio with you.
Also in the studio, we have the executive director of the Kalamazoo Symphony, Jessica Mallow-Gully.
Good morning. So happy to be here.
I'm glad you could join us. And we also have the concertmaster, Jianqing Lin, who will be a featured soloist in the concert Saturday. It's great to have you back here.
Thank you, Kara. It's going to be great to finally play for a live audience for the first time in over a year. So.
Jessica, one of the things we need to pass on right away is that reserved seating has been sold out for this concert.
Sold out. Just this morning, we are so happy to know that we have an overwhelming response from the community to come out and join us this Saturday when we kick things off with our Centennial Summer Festival.
It's amazing. Full details on, there are still passes available for lawn seating. Don't forget to bring a chair, but you can reserve them now and even walk up on the day of if you want to take that chance. Doors will open at 6 o'clock, figurative doors, I think, is what we're talking about. Jessica, tell me about the decision about where to make this day, you know, reinvigoration of the season happen.
Absolutely. So, you know, when Julian and I were putting our heads together this year with our board thinking about how can we properly celebrate our 100th anniversary season after so long of having no live audiences present, we had approached approximately 40 venues around the Kalamazoo area, and with the COVID closures, almost no one could take on the symphony to do live or recorded performances this year. And as we approached summer, we had the idea to return to a spot that has a very special history with the symphony. Nearly 20 years ago now, we had performed with the Carr Museum for a very special 4th of July festival that we used to do, and we thought that it would be really fun and wonderful to revive this partnership. The Gilmore Carr Museum is an absolutely wonderful partner, and they have that big, beautiful campus, an incredible collection of special cars, and the synergy with that and the music that we play is so strong that we thought we will build a big stage there on the campus. You can see the amazing cars that they have and hear some amazing music, and we will celebrate together, and they have been such a wonderful partner to work with.
Jessica, you're kind of new to Kalamazoo. What did you think when you first went out to the Gilmore Carr Museum?
I have to tell you, I was blown away. I would never have said that I was a car person myself, but it doesn't matter. You know, the amazing collection that they have, you know, they have things that you can't find anywhere else in the world, and we have it right here in this part of Michigan. I was just astounded at the beauty. And to think about the cars that they have, some of them were made in the same year that these classical music pieces that we play were written. And so you can really see what people were driving and doing at that point in history when that piece of music is on the stage, and that's a really cool bond.
It truly is. What a neat thought to tie all that together. When I think of the Gilmore Carr Museum, I think of they have giant barns there. So I was wondering if were you planning to play inside a barn, but you can disabuse me of that notion, right?
Well, we will not be playing in the barns, but I hope that people can come a little bit early and walk through the museum grounds. The museums will be open until 7 p.m. So, you know, with your lawn ticket to come and see the concert, you can also see as much of their collection as is open. But the stage is going to be out near the track where they do the big car shows out there. And so we will have our big featured stage, and people can sit on the lawn right there just past the barns.
Okay. Julian, let's hear from you on this location and the music you've chosen to feature.
I think it's a spectacular place to be bringing music back to the people of Kalamazoo. And our partnership is fantastic with the Gilmore Museum. As Jessica mentioned, your entrance ticket will also give you access to the museum's exhibits. They're going to close a little bit before the concert starts, but if you get there early, you can walk through. There'll also be classic cars on display in front of the stage while we're performing. And as a special treat, for myself and for the soloist, we will be brought to the stage in classic cars. And they've chosen very specific cars for both of us based on the repertoire and based on all sorts of other details. And it's a lot of fun. Throughout the summer, I'll get the chance to ride in all sorts of different classic cars, being shuttled from my dressing room to the stage. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, you know, we've chosen this program to really bring music back to life with a live audience. And we're so thrilled to be able to feature Branford Marsalis, who is an absolute legend of the saxophone. I think probably the most well-known sax player living today. You know, early in his career, he was on The Tonight Show, and then he made an amazing career in jazz. And recently, the last 10, 15 years, he's really also been focusing on classical music. And he'll be playing a little bit of both with us. So it's a really varied and mixed program on the first half, featuring Branford in all of his saxophone virtuosity. And the second half of the program will feature our very own concertmaster, Junqing Lin, in one of the great solos of the orchestral repertoire, which is Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade. Mm-hmm. And this is a piece that is very near and dear to my heart, very colorful. It tells the stories of the 1001 nights, and it describes the color and the flavor as imagined by Rimsky-Korsakov. I think it's a program that the orchestra is really sinking their teeth into. They love to play this music. You can hear it. We've already been rehearsing for 2 days, and they sound like they're on fire. So I really can't wait to bring this to everybody.
Julian, I have a visceral memory of you conducting a work that, to me, is next door to Scheherazade. That would be Pictures at an Exhibition by Modest Mussorgsky. You just, you drove them to an astounding performance.
I think hopefully we can expect something similar. This is music that is beautifully orchestrated, that is so powerful, and that is featuring so many of the musicians of the orchestra in a solo capacity, but none more than our very own concertmaster. Each movement of the Scheherazade, there's four movements. Each movement features a lengthy violin solo. And, you know, in my imagination, the solo violin plays the part of Scheherazade herself, who was told every night that that would be her last night on earth and she would be executed by dawn. But instead, she managed to captivate the Sultan and tell him, spin these tales, and leave him every morning on a cliffhanger. It was sort of the ultimate, series, like Netflix series of the day, that you just couldn't stop. He couldn't stop there because he had to find out what happened. Yeah. And she managed to continue this for 1001 nights, almost 3 years, and saved her life. And in the end, he didn't kill her.
She should win the Pulitzer Prize for literature. But wait, there's more. Once again, I am joined by the executive director of the Kalamazoo Symphony, Jessica Malogully, the music director and conductor, Maestro Julian Querti, and the concertmaster, Junqing Lin of the KSO. Doors open at the Gilmore Car Museum at 6 o'clock on Saturday, and that is to allow people to enjoy the grounds and the incredible man-made vehicles that are dispersed throughout Julian.
And also, there will be food trucks there, and it's a fully licensed venue, so you can when you're there on the lawn, you can bring chairs, you can bring picnic blankets, you can relax. There'll be a lot of refreshments. It'll really be a fun time for the whole family, or let's say for a date or an anniversary or something. Tickets are selling really quickly now, so make sure you get yours.
You can reserve them at KalamazooSymphony.com. And remember that the lawn seating is a green space, so bring your chair or blanket and prepare to enjoy an evening outside with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. If you are just hearing about this for the first time today, please know that this is the first of a series of summer concerts. You will be back at the Gilmore Car Museum and all of those upcoming concerts, which I'm sure we'll be back to talk about, are currently posted at KalamazooSymphony.com. So have a look. There's something for everyone. And in fact, there's something about each concert that is so compelling, you'll want to go to all of them. For me, I want to go back to Branford Marsalis. He is part of a family that has created a legacy of not only music, but education in our country. They are some of the go-to historian players, in a way, especially, I guess I'm talking mostly about Wynton Marsalis, his older brother, trumpeter, but Branford Marsalis has carved out this really unique space. You talked about it as, you know, he's a straight-ahead top jazz musician, but also takes on repertoire from the classical world. I'm sure you've known some crossover players. It takes a lot of, a total different discipline and a lot of work.
It sure does. And it's funny, so many of the crossover players that I've come to know, they've gone the other way. They've gone from classical into jazz. And I think that you get a different approach if you start with jazz and then you go into classical, because you tend to, if you're going from classical, you tend to start with a very rigorous training and a lot of book studying, let's say. And you have to then learn how to free yourself and to improvise and to do all the things that jazz musicians do naturally. exactly. But from somebody like Branford or Wynton, but we'll talk about Branford since he's coming, you know, he started, his family was from New Orleans, was a very, very well-known and well-respected family of musicians, and most of them were jazz musicians. And he started in that tradition. And from there, he's been moving into the classical, which is great because, you know, in his playing, but also I think in his composition, he has an approach which is very visceral and sensitive to the emotion that music comes, that brings to you, instead of more of a, it's not so much of a heady type of composition. It's much more of the heart, which really appeals to me. Let me just tease this, that this may not be the last time that Branford is going to be in our community and working with this orchestra. So there may be more to that story a little bit later on.
That's fascinating, Julian. And it's also, I feel like we are so lucky that this performance takes place on a holiday that for Black Americans is so special, so important. It's Juneteenth, and Mr. Marsalis is available to perform here on this day. You are tying in Juneteenth to the concert in some ways, like with repertoire, with acknowledgement. And what can you say to that?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's a very important holiday, and it's very important for us to acknowledge this as an organization in this community. And we've chosen to perform a piece after the Star Spangled Banner, a piece called Lift Every Voice and Sing. And this piece was written about 120 years ago. It's a hymn. It's celebrating the Emancipation Proclamation. It's celebrating Abraham Lincoln's commitment to free the slaves. And that's exactly what we celebrate on June the 19th. So it's really important that we embrace this part of our community and to show that the orchestra really represents everybody. And so it's something that we're all looking forward to. And in fact, throughout this summer, whenever we play the Star Spangled Banner, we'll also include Lift Every Voice and Sing.
I think the news came yesterday that the U.S. Senate had officially designated Juneteenth as an official U.S. holiday. So there's progress there. Juneteenth is Saturday. Doors open at 6, music starts at 8 p.m., and unfortunately, you are a little too late if you don't have reserved tickets for seating areas, but there are plenty of lawn tickets available. So check that out at KalamazooSymphony.com. And we are talking about the special guest artist, Branford Marsalis. You mentioned Lift Every Voice and Sing, the Star-Spangled Banner, but then it's time for your special guest artist to come out onto stage. Well, to drive out, as you were saying.
That's right. He'll be in a, I believe it's a 1957 Cadillac limousine, but could be something close to that.
I love this idea that, you know, us music nerds are matched by the passion of the car nerds at the Gilmore Car Museum. And they're like, yes, we can find the exact perfect vehicle for you.
Artistry at its finest, yes. In many fields.
Terrific. I'm so excited about the repertoire he's going to bring with him to the Kalamazoo Symphony Concert, because this John Williams piece, the great film composer, is so fun and not easy for the soloist, but it's filled with this mix of Americana, jazz, and classical.
Right. So this piece was originally written for the movie Catch Me If You Can. And this was this great movie about this con artist who spent his whole life being chased by the FBI and ended up working with them. But the movie itself took place in the 1960s, and so John Williams, in his score, he decided to take the music of the 60s, and especially the sort of progressive jazz movement that was really in vogue then, and to orchestrate that in his own way. And so there's three movements, and each one of them is so beautifully crafted, and it sounds like jazz, but there's a real classical undercurrent to the whole thing, and there's an amazing solo, not only for Branford but also for our vibraphone player, Judy Moonert, our percussionist, will be playing that. I'm bringing her right up to the front of the stage for this, and she sounds like dynamite. We did it in rehearsal yesterday, and it's unbelievable. This is like Milt Jackson on the vibes, but notated out. It's one of these great little parts in a concerto that the orchestra gets to play along with, and it's a fantastic piece.
So many people love John Williams' music, but he doesn't always change styles for movies. Like, he often just goes with the John Williams sound. That's what makes this so special.
Right. You know, there's only a few times when he really did change his style, and this being one of them. Also, Schindler's List, maybe you could say slightly, but for the most part, his movie music sounds like one thing. But his concert hall music, and I've performed quite a lot of his, you know, more serious compositions, concertos, most of them. It's very different, wildly different from the music that he writes for the movies. And I find in this particular piece, he kind of blends both. So you get a glimpse into the other aspects of his composition that you don't always when you're listening to Superman or E.T. or Star Wars, which, by the way, we'll be playing later on in the summer. We've got a whole concert devoted to those movie
music.
Themes.
That's right. You can check it all out at KalamazooSymphony.com. That is where I highly recommend you find information on Saturday's concert, which is a Juneteenth celebration featuring guest artist Branford Marsalis in this wonderful mini concerto by John Williams called Escapades, as well as the Rhapsody for alto saxophone. So is he switching? I know.
No, it's going to be alto the whole time.
I see. Okay.
Yes. Debussy wrote this Rhapsody. It was a work that took him a long time to write because it was a strange instrument. Nobody knew what to do with this. When Sax invented it, he was a Belgian, he invented this instrument that was, you know, in his mind would have the power of a brass instrument but the flexibility of a woodwind. And then he kind of gave birth to this strange thing, and all of the composers were interested, but none of them really knew what it could do or how to use it. And so you have people like, you know, Ravel later on and Rachmaninoff putting it into their orchestral scores. But Debussy, you know, he was very interested in innovation and really wanted to do something, but it took him a long time to settle on what this instrument could and should do. He wrote this piece and originally just sax and piano, and then he gave sketches about the orchestration. He himself didn't complete all of the orchestration, but he basically wrote it out enough so that one of his composer friends, somebody that was younger and worked with him, was able to orchestrate it. And to my ears, it sounds exactly like any other Debussy.
A wonderful transcription for orchestra, as you were saying. And, well, the KSO does a beautiful job with the French repertoire, with American repertoire, and as we'll hear a bit later, the Russian. Let's take a short break. I have a recording here called Creation. It is a solo album by Branford Marsalis that does focus on some French pieces. And I've chosen these short pieces by Darius Milhaud, who is French, but also spent a lot of time in South America and America. And of course, we'll hear this wonderful playing from Branford Marsalis. I think this might be soprano saxophone. So let's have a taste of this artistry, Branford Marsalis, appearing at 8 o'clock on Saturday with the Kalamazoo Symphony. Details at kalamazoosymphony.com. We heard Branford Marsalis and the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. In music of Darius Milhaud, we are trying to evoke the sound of John Williams that's coming up this Saturday. There's a fantastic concerto based on a film that John Williams scored, Catch Me If You Can, that features virtuosic saxophone. And your player has to be ready to swing between worlds and moods and styles in the piece. Branford Marsalis will take the stage with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra in an 8 o'clock concert on Saturday. The concert commemorates Juneteenth, and it also features a massive orchestral showpiece in the second half. If you've just tuned in, I am here with the concertmaster of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, Junqing Lin, who will be a significant figure, an actual literary figure in the Rimsky-Korsakov Scheherazade work that music director Julian Querty will conduct. Julian Querty also here along with executive director Jessica Mallow-Gully. But Junqing, you have you're the storyteller. You're representing Scheherazade as she spins her tales in this piece. I know you must have played it many a time.
I have had the luck to have played it a number of times. This is the first time in a long time, though, that I've had as much rehearsal as we've had. Usually, I'll play it on kind of a one rehearsal concert kind of situation. And you spend a lot of time planning out how you're going to play the solos. And you go with that one thing that actually works. And so it's been nice to have so many rehearsals and to be able to try out different ways, because I think it's really important that the same kind of leitmotif comes at each movement, like you said. And I think it's really important, since it is supposedly, you know, 1001 tales, that you try to say it a little bit differently each time. Mm-hmm. Usually when you don't have much time to rehearse, you just find the one way that works and say, okay, I'll go with that, and just hope that it works at the concert. But this time I've had a chance to try a lot of different ways of saying the same music, and Julie and I will talk afterwards and it'll be like, well, that didn't work so well, or that I like that, or, you know, things like that. And it's, so it's been a wonderful opportunity to expand my thinking about this, the solo, and how I want to represent her.
That's ideal. More time, more discussion, and, you know, deeper performances is how that turns out for everybody. The last time we talked, you kind of confessed that the shutdown had made you realize what a social musician you are. You do need that that give and take, that inspiration. Has it been wonderful to get back to in-person performing?
I've done this for a long time. I mean, I've been a member of the Atlanta Symphony for 32 years, and I've been a member of the Kalamazoo Symphony for the last 3 years, I think. And it really, I needed a reminder after having done it so long. And you know, it's always been, I'm the luckiest person in the world to get to do this, but I took for granted, you know, playing concerts on Saturday nights and, you know, just kind of showing up in my tails and having audience there. And when that was taken away, it was really a moment of like, okay, why did I get into doing this, and why is this important for me to continue to do? And it really is that interaction with people. I mean, in Atlanta, we did recording every week for our streaming service, and it's been interesting to find out how many people actually like being in their living room and listening on their really good audio equipment and watching on their gigantic TV. But I have also spoken to a lot of people that it really, I mean, the impact of live music is really something. I mean, to actually see the players producing the sound at that very moment, and you get that that kind of visceral reaction from seeing someone actually produce the sound, it's really important. And it makes me believe even more in the power of live music. I just hope that we're going to get to the point where people feel comfortable sitting next to a stranger that they in an audience. And because I know we're going back with some distancing rules a lot of time, they won't be in place outdoors, fortunately. But I'll be interested to see how it goes, how next year is, because this last year really has been tough for all of us that play music and produce music and need music in our lives, I think.
So maybe all of the tedious details involved in getting to a concert hall and getting on stage and everything, kind of you realized that means nothing next to playing this music, just sharing it.
Exactly. And I very much missed the interaction with my colleagues. We're still a little bit distanced in our rehearsals and things like that. And it's been, I really, as you put it, I really am a social musician. I enjoy playing with other people. I spent way too much time in my youth practicing by myself in my room. And
you're making up for it.
Well, and the whole reason I did that is so I can be on stage with other people. I miss that, and I miss the kind of inside jokes with your stand partner, and, you know, finding things amusing and finding things dumb sometimes. And it's really important to have that interaction.
Musicians have opinions.
maybe a few.
Julian, you've already mentioned another member of the orchestra as a soloist in this concert. Junqing Lin is your concertmaster. You've actually gotten to know so many of the players by name and found ways to feature them. And yet you're still very new to the Kalamazoo Symphony.
I do. It's funny. I feel still like it's like I'm in this kind of honeymoon phase because, you know, we had basically one full season together and then COVID happened. But, you know, I think we spoke about this before that I somehow feel after going through the pandemic and let's just say, you know, I'm touching wood right now. Let's just hope that the end is in sight. I feel that we've come together much more as an orchestra through what we've been able to do during those months when we couldn't play for audiences. And, you know, all of the video work that I was doing, and it just allowed me to learn about the people and the artists who are sitting there in the orchestra in front of me. But, you know, what Junqing was saying, you know, the thing that I miss the most looking out at them is not being able to see their facial expressions. Mm-hmm. Because this is so much, I didn't realize how much of a part of music making this actually is, to see how people feel about what they're playing and to see where, you know, where you can draw out the power. It's a very strange thing, but we've come to get used to it. And I actually believe that when we get back to playing exactly the way that we were before, it won't be exactly the way. In fact, I think we'll be much better for what we've had to do now to learn, to adapt, to listen more, because you're separated more in space from your colleagues, to be able to use your other senses where sometimes you relied on just sitting close enough to your stand partner that you would, you know, you wouldn't need to count your rests because you would know when they were starting to play that it was time for you to play. And now we have a lot more, I think, personal connection to what music we produce and what sound our instrument makes. It's really great.
Well, we are closing in on the end of the hour, and I have something reserved for the very last part of our time today. And I guess I wanted to go back and correct my own statement that there was a shutdown, because really, the Kalamazoo Symphony never shut down. It kept going. And Jessica, you were a big part of that, bringing together your staff, the music directors, just you never gave up.
You know, in the 100th anniversary season that's now been rescheduled a couple of times, we figured that the best way to proceed through this really, really unfortunate time we were all living through was together. The synergy of our musicians and our board and our staff, we're so pleased to have been able to support everybody throughout the entire year, to make amazing recordings together that we were able to stream online and keep that momentum going and really just use the strength and bounding off one another to come together and make some great music, live audiences or not. But we are so happy to have a live audience again.
Let's have a taste of the Rimsky-Korsakov. It's the showpiece on the second half of Saturday night's Juneteenth concert. Details at KalamazooSymphony.com. Thank you.